Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, so Jenny is in studio. Hello, Jenny. Chris Williams. I have to tell you, I was telling a colleague, I was telling Gugu earlier, I said, Gugu, I don't get nervous when I speak to politicians or anybody like that. But this is a big moment for me. She said, why? Who?
Yeah, she's not scared of anything.
She said, who and why? No, I'm not scared. I'm just really, really happy. I'm really happy to have you here today.
It's well, thank you very, very much indeed. Yeah. And it's all in a beautiful new studio.
Isn't it just wonderful?
And it looks fantastic. And you're right opposite the pantry.
Yes.
And, I mean, that's where one wants to live.
That's where all the money
yeah, exactly. But it's lovely to be here. It really and truly is.
So this is our Women's Month special. And I thought to have you here because for me, you have been the one person in broadcasting that stands out, literally, for me. You still do, by the way. Not used to, you still do. You have been so impactful, Jenny, because we have gone through a lot in this country. And in all your time on the radio, you've managed to lighten up a moment. Remind us why it matters. Remind us why we still love Joburg. Remind us why this country's still special. And we thought, why not? Why not celebrate you while you can still hear us tell you that you are great? You
well, listen, I mean, I got a message, what was it? Not yesterday, the day before.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, well, I'll see to that soon. And forgot all about it. And I was reminded by your producer. And I just thought it's so nice because I haven't seen you, I don't think, since 7:02.
Yes.
And which is a long time.
It is a long time.
So it's lovely to be here. And it's the last time I was in Kaya.
Yes.
Yes. Was during lockdown. And I can remember driving from my house and not seeing a single car, not a single person on the road. It was very creepy. Coming here, and the only two people in the building were the sound engineer and me. And if we were very lucky, they would have done some kind of, I don't know what it was. It was supposed to cleanse everything so that we would
sanitizers and stuff.
Sanitizer. But as soon as you stepped on it, it was so slippery that your legs would go up and you would just fall on your bottom. And that wasn't the worst. You couldn't get up. So you had to crawl. So you were crawling through this goo that I don't think did anything, but you were crawling and nobody had any idea. And also you couldn't go back to the bathroom to wash the stuff off because you'd have to do it all again. Over again. So I haven't been back since then.
Welcome back, Jenny. So what were you doing during COVID? Were you cooking like everybody was cooking?
I learned how to bake rusks. Thank you. And, I did put on weight because I just thought I'm just so bloody bored.
Thank God yours came off.
COVID weight. But actually, what I discovered, and I mean, I would love your listeners to call in because what I discovered is that I can't remember the huge gaps. I know that I came here every Saturday until it got really strict and I had to work from my dining room table.
Yeah.
But I can remember getting up and thinking, okay, I'm going to Hoover and I'm going to do this and I'm going to... And then I would go and sit outside with my binoculars and a pile of books that I put aside. I read throughout lockdown, I read one book. And you know, I'm...
Wow!
I live in books.
That is interesting.
But other people who lived in books also, they weren't reading.
Yeah.
And there was only one book that I read and I thought it was wonderful. And my heart went out to the writer because nobody remembers it because nobody was working.
Do you remember what book it was?
Yeah, it was by Patricia Schonstein and it was called The Inn at Helsflachter. Mm. And it is masterly. And it just died.
Do you remember what your engagements with the listener was like at the time during COVID?
No, because I did much more of a magazine show.
Yeah. But every now and then?
No. I'd get people calling in on books.
Yeah.
But I wasn't encouraging that because I honestly and truly, I was not reading. Mm. And when you look back at it, you know, Princess Anne, very plain but wonderful. Mm. She was knocked out recently by a horse and she can't remember it. Mm. And such was the trauma. And yes. we were all traumatized.
Yeah.
And it was an extraordinary period in South Africa's history.
I mean, I ask because I remember I used to go to work every day. And the trauma that you speak of came through the radio. People were so traumatized. It was quite an incredible time.
Well, we were scared.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Jenny, it's 30 years since our democracy.
Well, indeed it is.
I bet you remember when you cast your first vote, 1994, here.
At the school, my local school.
Where were you doing your walkabout to the voting station this year?
No, the same place.
Really?
Yes, the same place.
How different was it?
Well, I don't think anything...
The feeling and all.
I don't think anything will ever be like 1994. Mm. Nothing. Mm. You know, it was something... and also there was a lot of tension, which people have forgotten, because there were bombs that went off at the airport.
Yes.
And you know, people were being thrown off trains and things like that. So there was no feeling of confidence, except I knew that everybody was going to vote and everybody knew that everybody was going to vote. Mm. And somehow or other, the violence stayed away. Mm. And so we remember standing in queues for quite a long time, but nothing like the aerial pictures. Mm. And but the sun was hot and neighbors were coming out with water bottles, and you know, it was all the things that we dreamt that would happen, and that it did happen. And that wonderful picture of I can't remember the journalist, but anyway, she was with our almost president, and was there when he actually cast the vote. Mm. And she was so choked up in a way that she could hardly talk. Mm. And I can understand that, because I think it was, what was it, a month later when he was actually inaugurated, and when he arrived at the Union Buildings, and suddenly all the heads of the army, and they were all white.
Yeah.
They were all saluting him, and actually, even now, I get a little lump in my throat. And
that was the moment, was it not, when we knew it's sealed and it's done and it's happening.
It was happening, yeah. And I can remember, he wasn't the news editor. I think he was in charge of everything. Chris Gibbons, with a booming voice. The nearest voice to him is Stephen Crutus. XSAFM.
Now 702.
Now 702. and he was riding everywhere to see what was happening, and he was with me when Nelson arrived at the steps and everybody saluted, and even he, there was a pause, because he was actually quite moved as well.
Did you ever interview Nelson Mandela?
I sang Happy Birthday to him. He was in South America somewhere, where they didn't have a revolution. and I sang Happy Birthday to him, and I can't sing. I can't sing in tune. So the only thing I could think of doing was Marilyn Monroe. You know, Happy Birthday to... And this bewildered man was on the other end of the phone. And then I said, and I know you're there for the rugby. And he said... What rugby? And he said, I don't follow rugby, really. It's soccer. Oh dear. My producer was so cross.
I want to ask you about... And so, this year's elections, how did that feel to you?
Ordinary.
Really?
Yes. Ordinary. And I mean, we were in... And probably still are... in deep trouble, but nothing like 1994, nothing, and that tension and the deaths and things like that. It's different, it's serious, but there is this coalition government. It is, I'm quite excited, and I think that if other people are excited, and there is that wave of positivity, then I think it's great. And you also don't, and for people like you are now, coming on air and having to be, I was taught from a very early stage, never pretend.
Yeah.
So you cannot pretend you're happy when you're not happy. You can't pretend that you're not shaken if you've seen something. And if something breaks on your show, you can't pretend
anything. Then it's not happening.
Then, you have to be true to your audience and pick up what they're feeling. And
so you taught me to match the mood.
You
taught me that. Jenny, there's a call coming in. I wasn't ready for this, but let's go right there.
Lovely.
Swoo is calling from Randfontein. Good evening and welcome, Swoo.
Hey, Danella, how are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome.
Good. Oh, what an incredible guest you've got tonight.
Yeah.
Something to tell the two of you.
Yes.
Both of you, I started listening to you on the other station.
You can call it
the one that goes 207.
Yeah, 207. Danella, in the weekend, during the weekend, when you were with Coconut Kel, I would wake up and I would go to Kempton Park for a Saturday class. So I would be listening to you and Coconut Kel going crazy on the radio while I'm half asleep trying to get to class. Jenny Kill Williams, the last time I had you on the radio, you were doing those Zulu lessons. I don't know what happened after that.
I mean, Malusi Shabalala was very patient with me most of the time. And then Kaya said, I don't know why you're trying to learn Zulu on air, because our audience is probably Zulu. So stop it.
I'm Xhosa speaking, so Zulu is a funny version of my language. But still, it's a very funny version of my language. Like, we share the same words. Like, you know, just to make an example, ukuphambana in my language is to go crazy. Ukuphambana in Zulu is streets crossing, like making an X. But I still enjoyed, you know, the feature. I just came on and, I could catch up on some other words that, you know, I didn't even know of, because we all fall under the Nguni group.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, good key question. Are you coming back to radio?
Listen, I still do a lot.
She still does.
I still do bits and pieces. Yeah. So I'm not coming back. I don't ever want to do talk again, but because I've done it, and I don't want to spoil it in any way at all. But I do other things, and so I do regular podcasts. So if you like books, I'm your girl.
If I like books, occasionally.
All right.
Just to remind you and Aki Anastasia, what's the surname?
Anastasia.
Yeah, the crazy thing you would do on the radio. Yeah, okay, nice to hear you. Tamara, good guest.
Thank you, Swoo. Jenny, we lost Jeremy Mansfield not so long ago.
Yeah.
How was that for you? How did you hear?
I knew he was sick. And I knew that he probably wouldn't recover this time round. And when he died, I mean, there was, you know, lots of people were talking about it and everything.
Yeah.
But all I could think of was some of the times that I spent with him.
Was it a year that you co-presented together?
Yes, it was a year. And then they took it off air.
Yes, but you were very naughty.
Because we were so naughty. And I mean, a lot of the show actually was spent underneath the table because we were laughing so much. And you know, when you actually get to the stage where you're laughing, you can't get your breath.
Yeah.
So you're going like that, and then you get up and look at each other, and then you start all over again. And you know, we ran out of spot breaks and things. It was chaos.
Yeah.
But it was funny. But one of my memories with him was it was an interesting period in 702's history. Yeah. And we were doing an outside broadcast at Sandton City.
Okay.
And Stan Katz, who was uncontrollable anyway, and he insisted that we were show business.
Yes.
I felt that we were sort of journalists in a way, and that we had to travel in his limo.
Okay.
And his limo was about 900 yards long, and it would have fitted an army. And there were you'd touch a little switch, and a bar would come out, and then you'd hear clanking ice in a corner. And I mean, it had absolutely everything. I don't actually want to even think what happened there, but anyway, we drove to Sandton, and then we had to go on the ground floor, and we had to drive right through to the centre court. And you know, people were stopping us and looking in the window, and then they just saw boring Jeremy and boring Jenny, and they just turned away. And anyway, we did our show from there, and then we did notice when we drove down that the car wasn't going awfully well. Okay. But we were downhill, so Sandton is downhill from 702. So we got into it, and I said, "Let's just get out of here, and let's just go home." And we got halfway, and it stopped. Now, I don't think you could get anything more humiliating than being in a limo,
stuck.
And it's stuck. And there are only two people. So the driver said to us, "You two have got to push." And I said, "I'm not pushing. I've had two children, and I'm not pushing. And I am honestly and truly not pushing this bloody vehicle." And Jeremy said that he wasn't either. And so we sat in, and we had a drink. And then... And then somebody phoned 702 and said that we needed help. And so help came, and we just left it. And we just left it to Stan or somebody to mend. And then we came back home and went away for the weekend.
He had impeccable comedic timing, did he not?
He was close to genius, yeah. I think. And also, I've never heard anyone being able to imitate Nelson Mandela the way he did. I mean, I think if Nelson Mandela heard him, he would have thought,
Is that me?
You know, and it was extraordinary.
Jenny Christelman is my guest. Please dial in and call in and send in your tweets and send in everything, the X's, the tweets, whatever, and then also send in those voice notes on 063-688-0959.
Point of View on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
It's our Women's Day special and our Women's Month special. Jenny Chris Williams kicks it off. Jenny, thanks again for agreeing to do this with us. Really appreciate it. So I think a lot of people know that you love books.
I do.
But I know that you had a passion for newspapers. Do you still buy the newspaper?
Yes, I do. I do. And I mean, I just think it is so sad what is happening to newspapers. Yeah. And I think of the journalists who are there, and they're you know, great writers. Mm-hmm. And it's something that is very, very difficult to explain to people who aren't in that industry. But really and truly, it is so sad. Yeah. That those newspapers are going. And I had some friends for dinner the other night, and I've only just recovered, and I just cooked forever. I just thought, I don't know how chefs do it. But at that table, there was my old producer, Gary Oberholzer, and his lovely wife. And there was Bridget Hilton Barber,
yes.
Who was well before Gary. And she led me such a dance. She was so dangerous. And she would say, "Let's take off our clothes." And I have to say, just in case, but we never did. But I mean, I was actually quite scared of her. And so she was there as well. And she's still scary in that sense. And she's just driven to Rwanda with a friend. And it's the most wonderful journey, and she's a wonderful writer.
She just moved back to Joburg.
She just moved back to Joburg. And there was my cousin, and my uncle was a journalist, mm-hmm. and edited newspapers. Mm-hmm. And so there was all this crowd. We were all in the media doing mm-hmm. different things. And all of us loved the smell of a newspaper. Mm-hmm. There's a newspaper, well, there was, called the International Herald Tribune. Mm-hmm. And I can remember sitting, I used to go walking in Italy, yeah. and you know, at midday it gets very, very hot, mm-hmm. or early afternoon, and you'd sit in a piazza, mm-hmm. and you'd have a limoncello or mm-hmm. something like that, and you'd open the International Herald Tribune, mm-hmm. and you'd read it, mm-hmm. and you just knew the world was still okay. Mm-hmm. And I just think it is such a tragedy. And newspapers, I think, have formed so many of our lives, mm-hmm. actually. So I'm desperate about it. I really am. think it's very sad.
I don't know if you knew, but when you left 702, we still had your pile of newspapers. And there was a debate about what to do with the newspapers. I think they're in a cupboard somewhere.
Oh, my word.
In a yellow folder.
Oh, my word. Well, I mean, I don't know if you've been into the new building, but... Ooh,
posh.
My word.
Posh.
But I don't think it would have... Those papers would not have been taken.
No, they didn't survive.
No, they didn't.
Your move from print to audio, mm-hmm. How was that?
Difficult.
Yeah.
I thought it would be easy. I tested... I knew that I had done enough writing to last me a lifetime. And I knew that I wanted to get out of it because the market in South Africa is very small. Mm. And so editors are nasty because they can phone each other up and say, is she lying that she's getting this amount of money? Mm. Because we're all going to keep it together. And the magazines colluded in that. And I could just see very little future, except a wonderful experience, of course. And so I did some voice testing on a trip to the UK with the BBC.
Yes.
And their test was interesting. Mm-hmm. And they just said, no, you can do radio. And I came back to South Africa and I hit 702 very early on.
The '80s.
Very late '80s, mm. I think it was I can remember hearing John Robbie. Mm. And I think people who didn't hear John Robbie in his early days, because he started apparently with sport, which I didn't listen to. But suddenly people were talking about radio as if it was exciting instead of, you know, cop cars and boring. And I just thought, I listened to him and I was mesmerized. Mm. And then I was asked to go around their offices. And honestly and truly, they ran that radio station in a space not much bigger than this, but there were partitions, and the studios were very, very small. And I walked past John Robbie, and I could look in, and he had his feet on the desk, and he was talking with his arms, Irish and whatever, and I thought, I want that.
Mm.
And so I just picked up the phone, and I said, I'll make tea, but I want to be with 702. And so... They said, okay, well, come and be with 702.
Yeah.
And because I was working on The Star then.
Yeah. When you reflect on that time,
how do you
feel about it, your time on radio?
Well, I think I had the best of the best because it was, the ANC was still banned, but only just. I mean, it was that, so I joined at the cusp of all of that. Mm. And so there was the breaking news and there were carts. I mean, if you look back how primitive it was really primitive in terms of technology and everything. But my goodness, what was happening on air was exciting.
Mm.
And there were stories all over. There were photographers coming into...
In fact, I've got a question. Someone asked me the other day, how did 702... always know just when a bomb has gone, let's say in Soweto or wherever, and 702 at the top of the hour were the only ones who knew that it had happened.
Mm.
And I said, I don't know.
Well, because I think we had freedom on that radio station, maybe not in the country then, but we operated like a proper newspaper, proper radio station. And Chris Gibbons was one of the founding fathers of great journalism. Mm. And I met him at the, I can't think of any other word, but the coronation of the young Swazi king.
Mm.
And I mean, he was chewing everything up. It was so exciting working, seeing him work and everything. And people were phoning us.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it was at the beginning of talk, so not everybody could understand what talk was about. But people were phoning in dazed that they could say anything they wanted to say, within reason. and I mean, I still think there's got to be, you know, a degree of modulation. But people would phone us. There were newspaper. I mean, Ken Oosterbrook, who was killed. Yeah. I can't remember the suburb he was in, but he was killed. And I mean, he would phone and he would say something's going on. Mm-hmm. Dan Mayani. Mm-hmm. Dan Mayani was hot, and he was in Soweto and everywhere. And but it was chaos. I mean, you must remember. Even I know you weren't in the media then, but I mean, it was war. There was a war going on, and I can remember sometimes coming into work and feeling very shaken about what was happening all around us. And we were shielded because we were inside this tiny little bubble. And then 702 moved from being in the middle of town. And we moved to a site that is now covered by Nedbank, the Nedbank head office. But we had buildings there, and then they knocked them down, and then we moved again. But, yeah.
And so we find ourselves here where South Africa is feeling a little bit uneasy.
Mm.
Joburg is feeling very uneasy.
I think Cape Town is as well.
Yeah, maybe.
The gangs.
Yes, of course. What do you still love about Joburg?
It pumps. It just pumps. And I mean, every now and then I think, oh, God, this place. it's a love-hate relationship.
Yes, it is.
And it worries me because we don't have a river. Yeah. And I mean, I do, you know. It worries me that we don't have the balls to vote a party in that can actually mend our roads and can talk about conservation and can talk about things that matter, like schools that work and whatever. I get very angry. But it is also exciting. And I mean, you go down to Cape Town, which I love Cape Town, and you go down to Cape Town, and after 3 weeks, you're thinking, oh my God, I must get back. I want to get back. And I can remember, and I'm sure maybe some people listening will, if they ever listen to 702, will remember that we were on analog.
Yes. Not on FM.
Not on FM. And that meant that if there was a storm in the Drakensberg and it was coming towards us, the crackle in our headphones was so bad we had to take them off and do the show knowing the people in their cars couldn't do that, but they were still listening, and that was also very, very difficult. So I started listening round about Villiers, I think.
Yes,
and I could get the odd little, a cough or something like that. But the closer we got, and then finally, when you could get a proper signal, I just knew I was home, and I can't explain it in any other way. Except right now, I'm excited because there's Mimosa is out, Magnolias are out.
You're right.
We don't have a mountain, we don't have a river except a filthy little stream, but we do have the Constitutional Court, and we are the leaders, and we make money, and that's what Joburg is all about. It's exciting.
You spoke to a lot of politicians about things other than politics, which were very interesting. Which one stands out for you?
Oh, gosh.
I bet you had naughty questions, Jenny.
No, I know. Tito Mboweni was quite fun. You know, he was good for a laugh. Can't cook. absolutely useless. And is so poverty-stricken, he hasn't got a recipe book.
Was Tokyo Sekgala not...
Not Tokyo Sekgala.
Well, didn't he give you an acha recipe or something?
Oh, I've still got it. I've still got it, because he used to make acha. Yeah. Wasn't Tokyo Sekgala. It was... Who was the Reserve Bank? Tito Mboweni. It was Tito Mboweni. But Tokyo was sexy. You know, well, he used, I mean, not every...
I definitely get it.
Yeah, thank you. And I think what we all forget was how exciting that period
was.
That
was exciting.
So I could pick up the phone and phone the ANC and ask to speak to Jesse Duarte. And there would be this very modulated voice on the other end, a male voice. And I thought, wow. And I said, I need to leave a message with her, or can I speak to her? And he would say, no, you can't. She's in a meeting. Can I take a message? And I would give a message. And then I said, who's speaking, please? And it was Thabo Mbeki. You know, I mean, we've forgotten that. Yeah. that excitement. And I, in a way, have that excitement with this coalition government.
Mm. Yeah. How do you feel about Kamala Harris?
It's Kamala Harris.
Oh, you see. So he had how many times did he try to have different pronunciations of Kamala Harris?
It's got to be like a comma, apparently. Gosh. So the emphasis is Brooke Spector explained it to me. He said, okay, this Kamala is how you Harris. Do it. Yeah, yeah. I think it is absolutely blooming fantastic. I think it's fantastic.
Do you think she's going to win?
I don't know. But she's not scared. Mm. And I think that's great. Hillary Clinton wasn't scared either. But she could not believe that anybody, first of all, could be as dim as Trump is, but was, and so viciously insulting when you're talking politics. Mm. And I watched it and I just cringed.
Mm.
And she literally didn't know what to do except to be quiet.
Yeah.
And I don't think Kamala is going to.
Are you worried about the riots in the UK?
Yes. Mm. Because it's. Do you know what it reminds me of? Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the break into the. In the United States.
Yes.
And then wandering through Congress.
Absolutely right.
And I saw them climbing through the windows of some hotel or something, and I thought, my God.
The chairs on the.
That's right. Yeah. It's the same. So it's right wing fascists. Yeah. Hitler would have recognized them.
Yes, he would have. Mm. And in a way, the world is going through quite a moment at the moment. When you look around you, it's almost everywhere. You've got the. What's happening in Israel and Gaza, very unsettling in that whole region. Mm. You've got what's happening in the US. It is unsettling, actually, because I think there is intolerance, even though they're going to the elections.
But it's violent as well, and which makes things like Kaya FM and Kaya, 959, independent radio stations, so vital.
Mm.
And it really is important, and we shouldn't forget that.
Journalism has changed a lot, hasn't it? Mm. What do you make of that?
It changes with the times. Mm-hmm. I think irrevocably.
Mm.
I think the online portion has changed it. Mm. So you don't get. I mean, I can remember working in a newsroom and having my story that I thought was so good and well written thrown at me and told me to buckle up, not in those words either, and write it again.
Mm.
I wrote it three times. I was near to tears.
Yeah.
But there's that, but also the excitement in a newsroom.
Yeah.
And that's where well-run newsrooms come to light. I mean, when something big is happening.
Mm.
And I do remember when, was it 9/11? No, it wasn't. It was Diana's death. And
you did you not do a 2-day special of Diana's death?
I was on air for a week. I mean, it was, but on that day, do you know, again, talking about stuff being online, a friend from Houston phoned me, and it was about 3:00 in the morning.
Mm.
Now, for him to phone me at 3:00 in the morning, I'm almost immediately awake, but not quite.
Yes.
And he says, turn on your television set. And I said, oh, for God's sake. And I got out of bed and I turned on the television set. And there was an accident in Paris and Diana was involved.
Mm.
But she wasn't dead.
Mm.
You know, it was, and they were talking about a broken arm.
Mm.
And he said, are you getting dressed? And I said, yes, I am. And I just got in a car and I drove to 702. Mm. And I also used to live in England, very close to where she was brought up, Althorp House, and which was in Northamptonshire. And I was being fed. It was very exciting because we were just reporting and looking at screens and things like that. But I do remember Deborah Patter was on a plane and she was en route to Geneva for us, for 702. And we became aware that there was this gigantic story about to break. And the decision was taken. I think it was Mike Wills that she had to get off that plane in London, and she was going to start reporting the moment she went through customs. And so she actually didn't know until he spoke to her, and he said, "You're getting off the plane, get your luggage, and Jenny's crossing to you now, and she's going to ask you what's happening in London." And that's how it started.
There are moments like that, right? When you are right in the thick of it and you are so blessed to be right there. So where were you when 9/11 happened?
In my studio.
Yeah. Where were you when Mandela died?
At home. I think I was at home. I was cross because I wanted to be on air. But, but you know, it was muted because he was, you know,
for a while.
Not well.
I'm going to have to take a quick break. I'll be back with Jenny after this.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.
Well, joined on the line by Malusi Shabalala. He's not in the studio today, but so tell us what word we are looking at today.
Well, I guess it's relevant for the end of the year and the end of a journey, right? A journey that has been enjoyable. And that word is ukuvalelisa.
Right.
Ukuvalelisa.
Ukuvalelisa.
Lisa, vale Lisa.
Okay. Uku vale Lisa.
Uku vale Lisa.
Lisa, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now tell me what that means.
Uku vale Lisa is to say goodbye.
Well, we're not saying goodbye today.
We're saying goodbye to the year, though.
No, we're not saying goodbye today.
No, I'm saying to the year. We're saying goodbye to the year.
Oh, I see. You know, I was making it up sometimes.
That's what you do on radio, Jenny. No,
I mean, if there,
you know,
if there was a word, I would say, if could I say that word to a taxi driver? And he would say, please don't.
When were you able to listen to yourself? It's hard, is it not?
In the
to
early,
listen back. To
in
listen.
The early days, Mike Wills, who for me was a legend and remains a legend, he would call you into his office and he would sit down and he would play a good 20 minutes of you and you had to listen to it, and he would say, why did you ask the question like that? And you know, I didn't know that anybody who does live radio is able to remember why they did it. It's just that you kind of did it because it felt right. But he would say, but if you did this, you could do that. Anyway, and so it was excruciating, and then you would take it home and then he'd ask you questions about it the next day. So you had to listen to yourself, and it was very difficult. It's not beautiful until you get much, much, much better, and even then you cringe.
It's hard. It's harder than people realize. And people always thought you only have a 2-hour show.
Oh, and you don't do any work, you just sit and talk.
There are many, many hours that you dedicated to the show outside of the 2 hours, but were part of the work. How did you manage to do that as a parent? You were raising two kids, were you not? And then you were full-time working mom.
I think you compartmentalize it. I mean, you've got to do it. You have to do it. And in the end, they had to go to boarding school. And because... certainly my son, he needed to go to boarding school, and he was ready for it. And I couldn't care for them adequately. So they went to boarding school. But when they were at home, well, anyone who's a single parent knows how divided it is. But the hours, you know, you'd have breaks occasionally. But, I mean, I just worked flat out all the time.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure you must have done as well.
Yeah. It's tough.
Yes.
It's tough. What makes a great book?
Something that I read and can't wait to get to the end, and I'm upset when I get to the end because it's finished.
And an award-winning author is not always the best author of the time. It's someone who?
Who does what?
Who does what? What makes an award-winning author?
I think it's got something to do with the time when he writes or she writes it. I think one of the most wonderful books I've read recently, and it was all about water, And we ran out of the book in South Africa. I think it was 18 months ago. And we ran out of the book because everybody had bought it. And he's a medical doctor. And he one of his skills was operating on hands. And so throughout this book, there was water, and there were hands, and a doctor, and medicine, and love, and hate, and wonderful, the smell of wonderful Indian food, and you simply forgot about yourself, and you were just immersed in that book. And Anne Michaels, who's a she's a Canadian writer, and she wrote a book, and I'll never forget the beginning of it, and it was transcendent. It was so beautiful because she wrote in almost in poetry, and just beautiful. And actually, I've just read a book of poetry. It's not brand new, by Carol. I think it's Carol Duffy. She was the poet laureate in Britain. And I just read it, and I wish I had it with me now. I'm not a good reader, but there are poems in it. It's a very slim volume, and that I actually won't ever forget. There are two poems I won't forget. So there's something about it. I'm clearing out lots of books at the moment. Kate Turkington, who's turning 90.
Is she?
She's turning 90 in September. And she gave me my job. She didn't give me my job on 702, but I started on the midday hour. And she was the midday hour. So she had 3 days and I had two. And then I suddenly had 3 days and she had two. And then she gave it to me and went away because she wanted to do other things.
Yes.
And she was clever. So generous and clever, clever woman. She once claimed that she had 5,000 books. I actually believe her. Nothing else could have existed in the house because I'm now clearing away books as well. And so I'm inviting friends to come with friends at a certain time, and all the books are all spread out on the floor, and they can take as many as they like.
Can I come?
Yes, bring three friends and some wine.
Let's talk about the wine. Who do you enjoy drinking the wine with?
Everybody. Well,
you love good wine, so I did
do a good course a while ago, and that helped me actually quite a lot. You know, I don't know. I've just got Gary Oberholzer. He loves wine as well. And I mean, he brought me a bottle the other night, and it was a wine that I told him about. And he said, "You can't drink a wine that tastes of salt." And I said, "I'm giving you some wine." And it's a wine called Sea Salter. And it comes from Schutterpost, which is not far from Darling. So it's on the edges of the Swartland. And it is like, you cannot believe, you can smell the sea in your mouth. You can smell it in your mouth as well as taste it. And it's inexpensive. I mean, it's not R1,000 a bottle. It's like 120 or 150 rand and whatever. And they make lots of it. And he brought me a bottle of Sea Salter. So the pleasure that he had in giving it to me, and my pleasure when I went into the kitchen the next morning and thinking, "I'm going to drink you, but not just yet." And I love it. I match wines for people's meals, and I love it.
So what are you doing these days? What do you do with your lunch hour?
I don't have one. But what I do is something. I've been doing a little bit of writing, and I do work for an international company, and I do podcasts, book podcasts and authors and things like that for them. And to my rage, they don't want me to talk about it. So, and I can't understand that, because for us and for anybody listening, they want to hear stories and they want to hear, because the background to some of the stories, someone falling off a chair or something like that. I mean, they want to hear it. So I'm busy. So I've got, there's a wonderful book out at the moment, and it's by Zainab Badawi. And for anybody listening, she is BBC 4, or BBC whatever it is. And she's mad about opera. She also curates discussions with Nobel Prize winners just after they've been announced. And she's very skilled. And she's written a book, and it is Africa, written by an African.
Mm.
And it is nearly 1,000 pages long. And I've got an interview with her in under 10 days.
Mm.
So I've got that one. Yeah.
Someone's asking if you've read all the books you've spoken of.
Yes.
All right. I've got other...
and one or two more.
My all-time favorite. So all of these are just... people just love hearing from you, Jenny. So you've got this gig, which sounds amazing. And do you think we're going to hear on the radio again? And you said no earlier. You said you wouldn't do talk again.
I don't want to do talk because I've done everything.
And it's a lot.
I've done everything. I've done Diana's death, and I've done 9/11. And that was... I can still see it, and I still get goosebumps when I see the plane going in as I'm talking and thinking it's a replay.
Hmm.
Because we didn't know what was going on.
Hmm.
But something terrible was going on.
Yeah.
And it was... There was almost a cat fight about who was going to stay and cover the next few hours. You might. You see, I did something very interesting with Hot.
Yes, and, I remember that. Yeah.
And it worked.
Yes,
but it was too much work. It was very difficult.
It's a lot of work.
It was very difficult, and I loved it, and it was fun, and it was different. But I don't think it could be sustained.
Yes.
So it's not happening this year. But who knows? Who knows?
Who are you watching in tennis at the moment?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I've been watching the Olympics,
yes.
But I am deeply in love with Jannik Sinner.
Okay.
And he's all gangly, and, you know, he hasn't grown into the length of his arms, and,
yes.
You know, he's beautiful, and he's clever. And I love him. But I watched Djokovic,
mm-hmm.
And I know nobody likes Djokovic, myself included.
That moment was special.
It was so special when he won that gold medal.
Yeah, the moment was special.
And he was shaking. He was crying so much.
Yeah.
And I just loved that. Yes.
That was a very special moment.
Yeah, and Alcaraz, who couldn't even answer the questions that were given to him, he was crying so much.
Yeah.
You know, people who live with that sort of passion, they're not always easy to get on with.
Mm.
But sometimes when you've got them, you must know this, in your studio, you get the best of them.
Mm.
You know?
So, you said you've done it all. What do you still want to do?
I enjoyed, when I was at Kaya, I loved doing a magazine program.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I didn't find it relaxing, but mm-hmm. I just love being able to do this at such and such a time. And it was a weekend mm-hmm. as well. So, I used to sit... sometimes in this studio, but it didn't look the same.
Yes.
And I could look down on the street
mm-hmm.
and I would think of everybody going off and doing their Saturday morning shopping and maybe listening to a little bit of radio and what. So I do like magazines, and I used to work on magazines anyway.
Yes.
So I like that a lot. I'd like to do an hour's book show. Very much.
Yeah.
I would very like, because nobody's doing it.
And find a great producer.
Well, it's not going to be you, darling.
It's
You've
not.
Got your own show.
But it would be tough to find a great producer for a book show.
Yes.
You know.
Except I do quite a lot of it myself.
Yeah. Yes, know? Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and I also plant plants. And all my plants are suddenly becoming South African. And I love it.
I just wanted to say it's been such a privilege to have you here.
Are we out of time?
You do know the radio clock.
Yeah.
But I have plenty of time for you any day.
No, look,
it's been such a privilege.
It's been such a treat for me. It really and truly has. And I just remember how you looked after me when you were, you know, my producer.
Yes.
And you hadn't done producing
before. Yes, I hadn't produced before, yes.
So that must have been a baptism of something.
Yes.
But thank you so much, really.
It's been so wonderful having you here.
Thank you.
And Jenny, you've got to have a show. I mean, you know, let's make sure. You read the signs.
I
think things are happening here. They'll tell us what's happening. You've
you've got to do it. Yeah, you've got to do it. So we'll make sure that it does happen. But I think you've got some people that are about to call in and things are happening in the background. All right. No, the lines are just giving us a problem there. Jenny, thank you. It's been absolutely fantastic and love to see you again soon.
Thank you very, very much indeed.
That is Jenny Chris Williams.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.